Morning. Today's daf is daf Mem Aleph in Zvachim. We talked about the essential nature of the carbon chatas, the dam of the carbon chatas. The Mishnah taught us that when it comes to the outer chatas, so you need only one hazah, one sprinkling. Machlokes b'shim beisham and beisol, but we pass them like beisol. And you only need one zrika, one nesina, not zrika, this is chatas, one nesina, one application on one of the corners, and that would be sufficient. There's a mitzvah to go around and hit all four corners, but nevertheless, one zrika would be sufficient. And then led the Gemara to discuss the chatas hapnimios, the inner chatos, where there you have to, first of all, it's not the outer chatas, it's the inner chatas, it's the mizbech that's inside the heichal, and there you have to hit all four. That's absolutely required. The Gemara derives it based on a number of different drashas. Okay. Just quickly go back to, there's a lot of various drashas, variations amongst the drashas. Just quickly go back for a moment. Let's take a look at that brisa back on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, just as a way of achana, a way of preparation for today's daf. Right, Tana Rabbanan, this is just by way of review, you could follow with me or just listen, either way.
What's
up? On Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, starting again at that brice on the bottom of the page. Remember in Perek Dala, there are two back-to-back chatos apnimios. Right, there are a total of five. We did this yesterday, but it certainly is not bad repeating. It's very worthwhile. It's just new world of carbon over here. There are five chatos apnimios, two that are offered annually and three as needed. The two that are offered annually are the par of Yom Kippur and the seir of Yom Kippur. The bull and the goat of Yom Kippur are two of the five chatos apnimios. The ones that are brought as needed, two of them are mentioned in Parshas Vayikra Perek Dalet. The first one is the par Kohen Gadol, and the second one is the par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Right, those two are brought if the Kohen Gadol does an Aveira that requires a carbon chatas. He has a special chatas. His chatas, first of all, is a bull, not a goat or a sheep, a female goat or a sheep. And number two, the dam, the blood is sprinkled inside the heichal onto the parochis and onto the mizbeach hapnimi. Same thing is true with par helam davar shel tzibur. That's the next chatas mentioned in Perek Dalet. We're there too. If the Jewish people, the majority of them, sin, so you're going to have also a par, a bull that's brought. And again, the same procedure, it's panimi, it's done, the blood is sprinkled inside, not on the outer mizbeach. And finally, the fifth one is not located in Sefer Vayikra, but oddly enough is found in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parsha Shlach, where there the Torah cryptically writes about another chatas. I say cryptically because the Torah is cryptic in the way that it writes it. Just give me a moment. Parsha Shlach, after the Chet HaMeraglim. So then, then the Torah goes on to describe another. V'chi Sishgu. This is Perek Tezvav of Sefer Bamidbar. Perek Parsha Shlach. V'chi Sishgu. V'losas. It was called Mitzvot Ha'ilah. Asher Diber Hashem El Moshe. It's called Asher Tziva Hashem Aleichem Yad Moshe. Min Hayom Asher Tziva Hashem V'halal L'dor V'sechem. V'haya Im Me'enei Ha'idah Nesa L'shkaga. If from the eyes of the nation they did something b'shogeg, they did something inadvertently. The asu chol ha'ida par ben bakar echad la'olah l'reich nichoch la'Hashem u'min chaso, and the Torah describes that they bring a par. Torah doesn't even describe what the avera is. Okay, talk about a cryptic parsha. Okay, we'll talk more about that today. Okay, five chatos apnimios. The Braisa writes as follows. This is now by the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, Tana Rabbanan. This just we're reviewing right now, Dr. Zagi. V'asak asher asa ma ba lo mod lichpo ba'hazasa v'limeid. Shim chisar acha mikol ma'atanos lo asa v'lo klom. The Braisa writes that every one of the sprinklings are essential. Ainli ala maton sheva shema'akpos b'chol makom, maton dala minayin. I know that the seven on the parochas, that for sure is essential. And as we learned just yesterday, how do we know that? Where do we see that the seven are essential? So yesterday in Daf Mem, the Gemara told us that was talking about Paraduma, where with there we know it's essential. Negaim Saras, the part of the Tara process of Saras, we know that's essential. But matan dalet minayin, but the four corners of the inner mizbech, how do we know that's essential? Talmud lomar ken yaseh. Good. Lipar zepar yom hakipurim. This is important. I mean, it's all important. I'm saying, but this is important vis-a-vis our understanding of today's daf. It says the word lapar, in other words, just plugging along in pasuk chaf, the asa lapar. So the Gemara says, par over here is an allusion, it's a reference to the par of Yom Kippur. Kasher asa lapar zeh, par kohen Mashiach. And then it says, just like you do for this bowl, what's that referring to? That's par kohen Mashiach. Yeah. Right, that's talking about the previous chatas mentioned in Perek Daled. Ha chatas elus the ire avodas kochavim. The word chatas is an allusion to the goat of avodah zarah. That's your parsha shlach karban. Yachol shani amar ba'af ire harigalim the ire shechadoshim. And then the brisa goes on to say it's limited only to these karbanas and to no other karbanas. Okay, that is the brisa on that started really this whole discussion of Chatzos HaPnimios. Okay. The Gemara challenges, because the Gemara says, the word par over here, the par is referring to Yom Kippur. We have another brisa that we saw on yesterday's daf that said that the word par is not referencing Yom Kippur, but the word par is actually referring back to the par Helam Davar. I'm sorry, the par Kohen Gadol. Okay, so this is basically where we're going to start today. Okay, we are now on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and we just quoted a brisa by Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, we just quoted a brisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, if you look back here. I'm sorry, one more point of review before we continue. If you look back to yesterday's daf, Mem Amud Beis, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa, right? We have a brisa that supports Rav Papa. It's 10 lines down from the top of the page. V'asa kasher asa, ma tamalom lapar, l'rav was par yom kippurim, l'chol ma she'emor b'inyan divrei Rebbe, right? Or Rebbe Akiva, whatever the correct year says. Amar Rebbe Yishmael kavachomer. And Rabbi Yishmael says, no, we're going to learn it through a Kav HaChomer. Ma b'makom shelo hushva karmel karmen hushva masam lamasim. Makom shelo hushva karmel karmen eno din shishva masa lamasa. Right, Rabbi Yishmael derives a Kav HaChomer. Yesterday we went through the Kav HaChomer. Here we go. Elam ma tamo lomer lepar, ze par helam davar shel tzibur. When it says the word par, it's actually referring to par helam davar shel tzibur. Okay, that is... right, I'm sorry, par Yom Davar Shel Tzibur, lipar, zepar Kohen Mashiach. Good. All right. So now, this brisa of Rabbi Shmuel certainly disagrees with the previous brisa that I introduced you to earlier this morning. The previous brisa said that when it said the word lipar, that's a reference to Yom Kippur. The brisa of Rabbi Shmuel says when it says the word lipar, it's referring to par Yom Davar Shel Tzibur. Okay, that in of itself shouldn't bother us so much, meaning... different brises reflect different opinions. That doesn't bother us so much.
But both brises are from Yishmael or Nisbah?
Unclear. That first brisa is a brisa of Rabbi Yishmael? I'm not sure. Unclear about that. Okay. But I will tell you this, though, however, what the Gemara is going to ask is an obvious question. Meaning, if you look at the Pasuk contextually, the Pasuk is talking about Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur. Meaning, that's where the Pasuk is. Right, pasuk yigimel v'im kol adas Yisrael yishku v'nalam davar minei hakal. That is the parsha is talking about parhalim davar shel tzibur, and what's so odd is that now we're creating a drasha, right, where the Torah in pasuk chav says va'asar lapar, and you do to the bowl kasher asar lipar hachatas, and Rabbi Yishmael says, you know which bowl it's talking about? The bowl of parhalim davar shel tzibur. What? That's where we are. Meaning, if I'm in another parsha and I'm making an allusion, either a Gzeirah Shavah or a Hekesh or some allusion to a different place, that then I get. But what bothers the Gemara is, wait a second, we're in Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. Why would the Torah be alluding to Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur if that's the parsha that I'm in right now? So let's see this inside. This is where we're going to start this morning. We're in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots. Lepar Zeh Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. Okay? And the Gemara immediately asks, wait a second, Habitzibur Gufixiv? Yeah. That's what we are right now. So Amar Papa Mishum Debai Agmure Parhelm Davishal Sibur Bioseris Vishte Claudis Lisi Irevoris Kochavim Uparhelm Davishal Sibur Bugufe Loksi Bekesha Ase. I'm sorry, Bekesha Ase. It's the Rechlapar. Let me have a command dechsiv be begufe. Volo lehave davar halamed behekesh chozer malamed behekesh. Rav Papa gives really an involved answer. Okay, this is going to be probably the most. I don't know about the most, but it's a little complicated. Okay. All right, follow me on this. Okay. In Perek Dal, as I just mentioned, there are two different chatos of panimios mentioned. The first one is the Kohen Gadol. And the second one is the Parhelm Davishal Tzibur, the communal. They're essentially the same, meaning procedural-wise, it's the same. The same things are done with it. But if you read the Psukim carefully, you will see that for reasons which actually the Gemara later on will explain, the Torah in one place gives up more details than in the other place. Oh, for example, right? The Hizam, I'm going back to the par of the Kohen Gadol. It is all Perek Dalet of Vayikra. V'tavah Kohen says, "Baba Dam Hizamin Adam Sheva Pam Lifnei Hashem as Penei Parochas Hakodesh." He puts his fingers into the bowl and he sprinkles it seven times towards the parochas. V'nasana Kohen Min Adam Akarnos Mizbeach Ketoras Asamim Lifnei Hashem Asher BaOl Moed. V'is Kol Adam Parish Bachli Yisod Mizbeach Olah Asher Pesach Ol Moed. Then he does four applications to the inner Mizbeach, and then he drops the blood into the outer Mizbeach, onto the foundation of the outer Mizbeach. Okay, and then, Pasuk Ches, that's called Chelev Parachatas Yarimi Menu. Now you take out the fats. Okay, the part of the carbon which is offered are only the Imurim, only the fats. Es Achel HaMechase Al HaKerev, Ves Achel HaShir Al HaKerev. Fats of the internal organs, the es shtei haklayos, the two kidneys, the sechel of asher aleim, and the fats that are in the two kidneys, asher al aksalim, the es hayoseres al hakaved and the diaphragm, al haklayos yisirenu, that you remove. Okay, kasher yiram yishur zevach shlamim veikira makom al mizbach ola, just like we did by our carbon ola. Fine. Okay. And those parts of the animal go up onto the Mizbeach and are offered on the Mizbeach. We are here talking about the outer Mizbeach. Now, when you move to the next parsha, procedurally, it's the same thing. In fact, the Torah pretty much goes through the same process. We're now talking about Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. V'tavah l'kohen etzbam min adam v'yizah sheva paim lefnei Hashem es par parochas. I'm in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Right, so dipping and sprinkling onto the parocha seven times. Omina dan yitin akarnam asam mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem asher ba'ol moed v'eskol adam yishpoch liyisod mizbeach ha'olah asher pesach ha'ol moed. Fine, and the blood now is poured onto the foundation of the outer mizbeach. So far so good, it mimics everything that we just discussed previously. Here we go, listen carefully, pasuk yutes. V'eskol chabo yarim imenu v'yiter mizbeach. And as far as the chelev is concerned, the fats, you know, the fats go up onto the mizbeach.
Doesn't say the
diaphragm,
kidneys.
What
internal?
What about right? All the internal, right? What? How come over here? Well, let me not discuss how come. Actually, that's no. Why is not a valid question? Although the Gemara is going to ask it later on, so I take it back. Why is a valid question? But right now, just note that when the Torah describes the Parhelm Davishal Tzibur, it fails to mention kidney and the diaphragm. That means they don't go up?
Par-Cohen.
Huh?
Par-Cohen.
By the Par-Cohen, the Torah does mention it.
Oh, okay.
And by the Parhelm Davishal Tzibur, which is the next part, so the Torah doesn't mention it. So, just right now, forget asking why, but just note that the Torah doesn't mention it. Okay. So, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. We're going to assume throughout this entire discussion, it goes up. It goes up on the Mizbeach. The klayos, the kidneys, the yoseres hakaved, the diaphragm, it goes up onto the Mizbeach. It's not different. It doesn't deviate. But the Torah doesn't mention it. Not only that, the connection, right, if we want to talk in real modern terminology, the hyperlink that exists between this carbon of the Parhelm Davishol Tzibor and the one in Shlach, where the majority of the Jewish people are being over to Vodazar B'Shogeg, where they inadvertently worship idolatry, so the Torah connects this carbon and that carbon over there, meaning that procedurally, everything that we do over here for Parhelm Davishol Tzibor, we do for the Seir of Avodah Zarah. It's procedurally the same, even though in Parsha Shlach, not one point of procedure is actually mentioned. Okay. So now the Gemara says, and this is all Rav Papa talking. Rav Papa says, here's what we need to do. We need to see the actual procedure in the Parsha itself. Because what we're going to do is we're going to create a link. You want to call it a Gzereshava or maybe call it a Hekesh. The Gemara is going to call it a Hekesh. We're going to create a link between the Parsha of Parhelim Davar and the Parsha of Seir Avodah Zarah. However, even by Parhelim Davar, the Torah doesn't spell everything out. So when you create that link, there are missing pieces in the link. And in the world of Kachim, that's not good. Meaning in the world of Kachim, I can make, in Drush, I can make one jump, I can't make two jumps. So what I can do is follow, because here it's where, it's the only tricky part of today, really. I can't learn out the halacha of Klayos and Yoseres HaKaved from Kohen Gadol to Parhelim Davar, and then say, oh, Parhelim Davar, you burn the kidneys and the diaphragm on the Mizbeach, must be true also by the Seir of the Avodah Zarah. I can't do that. That's too far removed. That's drasha from point A to point B, then extending the drasha from point B to point C. I can't do that. So Rav Papa says, that's the solution to the problem. Question was, I don't understand. In the par of Helam Davishol Tzibor, the Torah says, the es pasuk chof, the asa la par ka asher asa la par achatas. And Rabbi Yishmael on Mem Amud Beis says, you know what that par is referring to? Par Helam Davishol Tzibor. What? What do you mean? It's referring. We're in the parsha of Par Helam Davishol Tzibor. So our Papa answers no. Essentially, what now it has created is it's created like, if you wish, a super hekesh, meaning that now everything that's written in the previous parsha is as if it's written in this parsha, which now affords me the ability to say that everything that's written in this parsha now can go to the seer of Avodah Zarah. If you understand that, great. If not, listen again later on this morning to the shir. It may help. And if not, so. Well, do it again. Do it again. I'll read it inside in the Gemara one more time. Let's see this in the Gemara one more time. It may help. Just hearing it again. Amar of Papa. Let's see the answer. Amar of Papa. Kasavatana. Debei Rav Yishmael. No, not that. I'm sorry. Amar of Papa. Next Rav Papa. Mishum debai agmuri parhelm davishal sibor bioseres shtei klayos lisi irei avodas kochavim. Right? We want to go from parhelm davar to the seer of Avodah Zarah. Well, Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor Begufe, however, the problem is that in Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor itself, Lo Ksiv, it's not written. The kidneys and the diaphragm is not written in the Parsha Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor. Behekesha Ase. It only comes via Hekesh. It's Rech Lapar Lamehavik Keman Dichsiv Be. Now, by the Torah adding the word Lapar, self-referencing. So now, it's as if you've written it in the Parsha Parhelm Davishol Tzibor. And now you don't violate the rule of something which is learned by Hekesh is now going to be learned by Hekesh.
So this is really an exception right here. It's a
extra word to avoid the breaking of the rule. One of the rules of drashas. Okay. Tanya Kavasi Derev Papa. And now, the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasi Derev Papa. We're going to, good, if you understood the answer of Rav Papa, great. Okay? It's easy. Well, I'm saying, once you say it out, it does, There is logic. Look, I mentioned this from the very beginning of Zvachim. It's a logical flow. Right? The step-by-step process of Zvachim is in certain ways easier than other Gemaras. Other Gemaras, there's a lot of assumptions, there's a lot of... In the world of Zvachim, everything has to be spelled out one way or another. There's a much greater logical progression. Just sometimes it's a little more intricate. It's a little more elaborate. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Papa, now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to quote a brisa that supports Rav Papa's very answer. V'aseh ka'asher asa matam lomar lepar. The word lepar is totally unnecessary. L'fishanemar v'heme v'us karbanam isha l'ashem. And the Gemara says, well, look, and now this is a brisa. And this brisa says, let's go to Parsha Shlach, right, which I did just a moment ago. And let's take a look at the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Yeah. Let's take a look at the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Pasuk quotes, V'heim heviu. Here we go. Yep, Pasuk Chafei. Thank you. V'chi pe'akon. I'm reading from the beginning of the pasuk. V'chi pe'akon akol adas b'nei Yisrael v'nislach lahem kishka gehi. So the Kohen brings in this special carbon, and it will provide a kapara, a slicha, because it's a shkaga. V'heim hevi was karbanam, and they're going to bring the carbon. Ishel Hashem v'chatasam lefnei Hashem al shugigasam. V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael v'lager agar b'sorcham ki l'chol ha'am b'shkaga. Right? That pasuk we're all familiar with. Yeah. Right, that's Yom Kippur. So good. Shenemar v'heim yivu es karbanam yishel Hashem. V'chatasam elu si'ir yavodes kochavim. Shigigasam zepar halam davishol tzibor. Chatasam al shigigasam. How do you understand that part of the pasuk? Amr Torah chatasam hare hi lecha kishkagasam. Shigigasam mehechal amata. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, this is it. This is where we have the link between Shlach and Vayikra. Meaning that the word Chatasam refers to the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Shigagasam refers to the Parhelm Davashal Sibor. And that's how we know that procedurally, this carbon of Seir of Avodah Zarah is done the same way this carbon is. So chatasam shigagasam amar Torah chatasam harilacha kishkagasam shigagasam mehechal amarata. Now, as far as parhelm davar is concerned, where do we learn that from? Lo behekesha. Didn't we learn that through a hekesh? And again, let's explain it the same way we just did just a moment ago. We're talking specifically about the kidneys and the diaphragm. That's not expressly written in the parsha parhelm davar shel tzibor. That's only learned out via hekesh. So this is exactly what bothers the Braisa. V'chidavar halamed behekesh, chozer malamed behekesh. You can't do that. So the Gemara says, Tamalama, the Braisa concludes, Lapar, Zepar, Halandavar, Shal Sibar, Lapar, Zepar, Kohen Mashiach. Okay, good, period. Period. So the Braisa is exactly the point that Rav Papa made, that the whole reason that we have the word Lapar is there to tell us that it is not hekesh hekesh, but it's just one hekesh. Amar chatas amelu siri avodes kochavim typically mikra kama. Damar amar chatas rabba siri avodes kochavim. The Gemara is a little bit confused because in Shlach we refer back to the parhelm davar shel tzibor. Meanwhile, in parhelm davar shel tzibor, we make a reference to Shlach. So Amar Rav Papa, it's the Rechzakadat Chamina, Hanimili, Hazaus Dixivim Begufe. Aval, Yoser Sushay Klais, the Lok Sivim Begufe, Emelo Kamash Malan. So Rav Papa says exactly. In other words, what we want to make sure everyone understands is what the Torah is teaching us is that just like I do the diaphragm and the kidneys, I burn them on the Adam Mizbeach by the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibor, same thing is true regarding the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Good. All right. That is that. That is an explanation of why. Well, no. Don't close it. Don't close it. We need it. That is an explanation of why the how you can understand the Brice on Mem Amud Beis, when the Torah says the word par, and Rabbi Shmuel is there darshaning, you know what par is referring to? Par Helm Dava Shal Tzibor, when meanwhile, that's the parsha we're in right now. How can the Torah be making a self-reference? Why would the Torah be making a self-reference? And the answer is so that we don't violate the rule of Hekesh Hekesh. Okay. Next, two dots. Top of the page on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Amalei Rav Huna Bered the Rav Nassim the Rav Papa the Hatana Par Yom Kippurim Ochol Sha'amar Beinyan Kamar. So the Gemara says the Brisa on Mem Amud Beis is not going in line with the Brisa on Lamed Tesamud Aleph. Exactly how I started off this morning. I pointed out that Dalid Chaf Perik Dalid Pasuk Chaf right now is going in a number of different directions. On Lamed Tesamud Aleph, we darshan the word par there to be referring to the par Yom Kippur. On Mem Amud Beis, we refer to par as being a self-reference. Par is referring to par Helm Davar Shal Tzibor. So the Gemara over here just notes, not everyone's on the same page. So Amalei Rav Huna Bered Rav Nassan, Lirav Papa V'Hatana Par Yom Kippur L'Chom HaShamra B'Inyan Kamar. Tanaihi, the Gemara says Tana Debe Rav Marbi Hachi. Good. So the Gemara says various Tanayim taken in different directions. Tan de Rabbi Shmuel Memnei Manamra Yoseres. I'm sorry. Period. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says some do and some don't. Some darshan it. Some don't darshan it. Good. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Memnei Manamra Yoseres Hashtei Klaus Bepar Kol Mashiach Velo Namra Bepar Helm Davishal Tzibor. Okay, this is the closest thing we're going to have in Agadata in a long time. First of all, we haven't seen any Agadata yet in Zvachim. The Gemara has so much information to give us in terms of Halacha, like there's no time for Agadata. Here we go. This is almost like going to be like a mini Agadat piece of the Gemara. It's not really Agadata, but it's Tamei Dekra. The Torah is going to try to explain a little bit to us. I told you earlier, don't ask why. But now we can ask why. In the parsha of Kohen Gadol sins, the Torah gives us a procedure of how it's done. If the community sins, the Torah tells us the procedure for how it's done. It's the same procedure. It's the same exact procedure. However, in the bowl of the Kohen Gadol, the Torah says you're going to take the kidney and you're going to take the diaphragm and you're going to put it up onto the Mizbech and burn on the Mizbech. In the next parsha, Par Helam Davar, we know that that happens, but the Torah doesn't say it. So now, Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel would like to give us a taste, an understanding of why that is. So, Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, well, Mimnei Man Amra, sorry, not that one. Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, Mimnei Man Amra, Yoseres Hashtei Klaus Bepar Kol Mashiach, Velo Namra Bepar Helam Davashal Tzibor. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Rabbi Shmuel says, I'll tell you why. Mashal Amelch Basav Adam Shezaam Al Ohavo. Look. In what happens in Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibor? The Jewish people sin. Shogeg, inadvertently, excusable, by Beistin told them it was okay, but they sinned. Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry, meaning Shogeg is not, oops, Shogeg is not an accident, Shogeg is, still, it's inadvertent. Right? We all should have been more careful. Beistin should have been more careful. The people should have been more careful. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zaham Al Ohavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. He's angry with his people. Umiyet Besirchuno. But still, it's his people. He loves them. So Miyet Besirchuno. So what the Torah does is that it shortens up, it tightens up the whole parsha of Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibor. I mean, we're not talking about it's just saving a couple of words, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, he's like, Miyet Besirchono. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to air out all of our dirty laundry, so we're not going to talk about the burning of the Yoseres HaKaved and the Shtei Kelayos on the Mizbech. Mimnechi Baso, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Okay, and I guess that means, I mean, if you think this through, what does it say about the Kohen Gadol? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love the Kohen Gadol. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to air it all out. Okay.
Why they tie the rope around his?
But Phil's right though. He's one person. It's not the same as Klal Yisrael. Meaning.
Right. He's also saying you have reference point. Had he not mentioned by Kohen Gadol, you wouldn't know for.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Correct. Baseline. Correct. Absolutely. Okay. Tanu de Beis Rabbi Shmuel. Another thing. It's unbelievable. I wouldn't pick this up because I don't read my Chumash carefully enough. But okay. Yeah, I know. That's not nice. Okay, here's another one. Again, we're comparing the two karbanos, the par of the Kohen Gadol and par Helm Davishol Tzibor. So I'll tell you what the Gemara is going to pick up on. In Pasuk Vav, by the par Kohen Gadol, v'taval ha-kohen es atzba b'dam, v'hiza min adam sheva pa'amim v'nei Hashem, es p'nei paroches ha-kodesh. Okay? When describing the sprinkling towards the paroches, the Torah says, and he's going to sprinkle it seven times into the direction of the paroches hakodesh, the holy paroches. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what happens is that in the next parasha, so the Torah loses its touch with Karbach. And it's v'tava akon etz ba'o min adam, v'hiza sheva pa'amil v'nei Hashem es p'nei ha-paroches. It's no longer the paroches hakodesh. It's no longer the holy paroches. It's just the paroches. Okay, so that's good. So how come the Torah did that? So once again, like a mini agarata. Time to be Rav Shmuel. Paroches hakodesh bepar kohen Mashiach. Velo namar bepar helm davishol tzibor. Mashal amelch basav adam shesar chalav medina. Because again, let's go back to what the Torah is describing. In the first parsha, it's only the Kohen Gadol. It's one person. In the second parsha, it's the tzibor, the entire community. The majority of the Jewish people have sinned, so it's sircha alav medina. The whole it's like the whole nation just went astray. Im miuta sircha pamal yishalom mitkayemet. Look, if it's just one or two people, or even a minority of the people, the pamalya, his counsel is still intact. But im ruba sircha, ein pamal yishalom mitkayemet. You know, right? Just so that we can understand the mashal kaviyachol. I mean, we're trying to give an understanding over here. If you have an entire rebellion of a nation, so the king, the dictator, whatever leader you wanted to describe it as, so not only is he going to be upset with the people, but even his inner council, right? His little cabinet. He's going to be like, I don't understand you people. Right, what's going on? It's not one or two people; it's the whole nation. And he was going to remove himself a little bit, even from his very own cabinet. Mm-hmm. Right. So again, in this mashal, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the same way. Meaning, his cabinet is the Beis Hamikdash, and all the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. And so to say, he's going to distance himself from the Beis Hamikdash itself. So now, if the Kohen Gadol sins, that's just one person. So it's paroches hakodesh. It's a holy paroches. But if you have the entire Jewish people, then it's not paroches hakodesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, to the best of our understanding, removes himself from his cabinet. Okay. Lefichach im nasan kulam kitiknan. All right. We're back at the Mishnah. Okay, that was it. That was a break of Agadata. hope everyone enjoyed it.
Great.
Back to the Mishnah. On Lamed Vav Amud Beis, we started the fourth parak. In the fourth parak, we talked about the Chatas Hachitzona, which only requires one Nisina, one application. And therefore, we said that when it comes to the Chatas Hachitzona, if I sprinkle it once, so that's it, I'm done. Consequently, the Mishnah went on to then explain that if I sprinkle it 2, 3, and 4, and I have a bad machshava of Chutzos Mano, or chutzlum komo, back to pigol, it's not going to affect the carbon at all. Because those are non-essential nesinas. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. Okay? However, the Mishnah says that's not true with the chatzos apnimis, right? By the chatzos apnimis, all of them are essential. Kol hanitanim, I'm rereading the Mishnah, back on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Kol hanitanim is be'ach apnima, she'im chiser achas min amatanos ki'il lo kiper. The Mishnah says that when it comes to the inner one, you need all four. Without doing all four, you don't have a kapara. Lefichach, consequently, says the Mishnah, nasan kulan kitiknan va'achas lo kitiknah. psula ve'ein bo kares. So, if you do three of them correctly, and one of them incorrectly, so it's psula, so then it's going to be disqualified, because all four of them are essential. Okay. Let's take a look at our sugya.
We're still in the Heichel, right? We're in the Heichel.
Right, we are. Right, that's in the Heichal. L'fichach im nasan kulan kitiknan. Tanan hasam. So we turn to a Mishnah in Menachos. Okay, Mishnah Menachos here. Right, let's do a quick review of a mincha offering. A mincha offering is much like a carbon, except just for one minor detail. A carbon's an animal, and a mincha is flour. Kohen Gadol, what he's going to do is he's going to take his hand and put it into the flour, and he's going to take out a kometz. A fistful of the flour. That's kind of like shechita, right? There's a parallel, we draw a parallel, the four avodas of a karban and the four avodas by a mincha. So by putting his hands into the flour, so that is the shechita. Then what he does is he puts it into a kli sharis. That's Kabbalah Sadan. Then what he does is he walks it over to the Mizbeach. That's Halacha. That's more than a parallel, it's the same thing. Then what he does is he takes it and he burns it on the top of the Mizbeach, and that's Zrikas Hadam. Okay. And much like there's a parallel with all four of them, same rules of Pigel are going to apply. Where if a Kohen, during one of those four activities, has a Machshava of Chutzes Mano, so meaning I'm going to consume the Mincha outside of its prescribed time, so he has affected it to be Pigel. Good. What the Mishnah in Menachos is teaching us is that the pigol, the act of pigol, has to go on the full matir. Now, when it comes to a mincha, there are two components to the mincha. There is a flour, and there's also lavona, frankincense. And I still don't know what that is. And one day, it's a spice, it's an incense. Okay. Never seen it before. They sell it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
The Temple Institute.
I would have guessed. I'll
bring it tomorrow.
I would have guessed. Okay, fine. Bring it in. Yeah, I don't think I've seen it. So there's also kamitsa. I'm sorry. There's also lavona. There's frankincense, and the frankincense sprinkled on the top, then collected and also burned on the top of the mizbeach. So in the world of Menachos, actually two things are burnt on the Mizbeach. One is the actual flour, and two is the Lavona. Okay. Now, as we've been discussing before, and we're going to hit on right now, in order for it to be Pigel, you must have a Machshava for the full Matir. Meaning, Ein Mefaglin Lechatzi Matir. Right? That's a mantra that we said earlier on. We'll see today that it's somewhat subject to a debate, but right now, let's assume ein mafagle mechatzi matir, that you need the full matir. So the Mishnah Menachos reads as follows: Tanan hasam, pigel bekomets v'lo b'lavona. Let's say you had a machshavas chutzes mano by the comets, by the fistful of flour, but not by the lavona, or b'lavona v'lo bekomets. Rebbe Meir Omer pigel v'chayav and love kares. So Rebbe Meir says it's pigel. Now, in Rebbe Meir, I'll tell you what. Let's first finish the Mishnah. And then we're going to go back. The Chachamim Omrim Ein Bo Karis Ashi Yifaga B'chol HaMatir. And the Chachamim say no. There's no Karis until you're Mefaga B'chol HaMatir. You need the full Matir. Okay. Now, the simple pshat, really, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is like this. The Chachamim's position is that in order for it to be Pigel, you have to have the whole Matir in mind. I mean, that's essentially what they said. It's Pashup Shat in the worlds of the Chachamim. Adshi faga b'chol amatir. So in other words, the comets, the fistful of flour, is only half of what needs to be thrown onto the Mizbeach. The other half is a Lavona. So if I'm only having my Machshava for half of the Matir, that's not good, that's Chati Matir. I need to have the full Matir in mind, which in the world of Menachos means comets plus Lavona. Now, if Rav Meir is arguing, so what's Rav Meir's position? Simple pshat is that he believes that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. That's a simple pshat in Rav Meir. Reish Lakish is about to tell us, don't do it. don't go with the simple pshat. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says Reish Lakish. Lo tema time de Rav Meir tekzav mefagam mechati matir. Don't say the simple pshat in Rav Meir. Ela hacha b'mayis kinan kigon shenasan as a comments b'machshava v'alavona b'shtika kasava kol ha'osa al das rishona hu osem. I'm going to give you a pshat in Rav Meir, but it's not the simple pshat, but it's the pshat. We're talking about a case where, again, by a mincha, there are two necessary matirim, flour and lavona. You know what the pshat Rav Meir is? It goes like this. First thing he did was he offered up the kometz, the fistful of flour, with a machshav of shalob bizmana, right? I'm going to eat it outside its prescribed time. And then he offered the lavona on the mizbeach, b'shtika, saying nothing. So what Rav Meir says is that you have a carryover. The machshava that I had for the kmitza is going to extend to the lavona, carryover. Okay, that's the pshat in Rav Meir. Mimai, Reish Lakish says, what forces? Why do I do that? Why am I compelled to give really the not simple pshat, not the obvious pshat in Rav Meir? Midiktani laficha chimnasan kulan kitikna v'achash lo kitikna pasal ve'en bo kares. Because I'm compelled to do that, because if you look at our Mishnah, what does our Mishnah say? Therefore, this is now a quote of our Mishnah here in Zvachim. If you do kulan kitiknan v'achas shelo kitiknan pasal ve'en bo kares. What does that sound like? Sounds like ha'achas shelo kitiknan v'kulan kitiknan pigol. When we read a Mishnah, we always deduce from the Mishnah. The Mishnah carefully chooses its words. The Mishnah says kulan kitiknan v'achas shelo kitiknan. There's no kares. It sounds like, what if I inverted? What if I said achas shelo kitiknan v'kulan kitiknan? Sounds like what the Mishnah is implying is that would be pigol, which now means I had my first. We're talking about the mizbeach apanimi, where we know you have to hit all four corners. So one of the four is just chatzi matir, or part of a matir, I should say, more accurately, right? Revia matir, a quarter of a matir. Sounds like from the Mishnah that if I hit one chutz mizmano, and the next three saying nothing, sounds like it would be pigol, money. Now look, if that's a correct reading of the Mishnah, or correct understanding of the Mishnah, that certainly is not the Chachamim, because we know the Chachamim say, in order for it to be pigol, you must have a machshava, a positive machshava, in every one of the corners that you hit. So it's not the Chachamim. Ala Rabbi Meir. Okay, so good. So by process of elimination, it can't be the Chachamim. Good, now we're down to Rabbi Meir. The E time the Ramayam Mishunda Mafakim Chatim Matir Hu Afila Kediktani Nami. So the Gemara's and it can't be that Rav Meir just simply says Mafagim Chatim Matir. It can't be that, because then it wouldn't be true. The Mishnah's point would be true even if the Machshava came at the end, meaning if the Chutzos Mano didn't come in Nesina number one, or number two, or number three. But if it came in number four, it would still be chutzos mano, it still would be pigol. So that can't be it either. So lav mishum dekasava kol ha'osa al das rishono ha'osa. So it must be carryover. It must be carryover, that must be the pshat. Meaning that the first one was done chutzos mano, and all subsequent nesinas were done with nothing, with shtika. Okay. That was a little tricky. Admittedly. What the Gemara just did, okay, let me just quickly review this. Let me do this outside one more time, and then we'll go on in the Gemara. What the Gemara just did is, it turned to a Mishnah in Menachos, Machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Look, we know what the Chachamim feel, because they say it very clearly. Ein mefagin mechatzi matir, which, by the way, is our accepted halacha, meaning that in order for it to be pigol, you have to have the full matir in mind. Not part of the matir. Okay. That part we get. But what's Rav Meir's position? It seems to be that he holds mefagin mechatzi matir. So what Reish Lakish is saying is, no, don't say that. But rather, I want to go with this pshat in Rav Meir. Rav Meir's pshat is that he agrees in principle, but what he disagrees on is whether or not you can have a carryover. Where if you have a machshava of chutzas mano for the first part of the matir, does that machshava carry over to a subsequent part of the matir? And Rav Meir says it does, and the Chachamim says it doesn't. Why Reish Lakish? Important. This is the critical part of this discussion. Why is he compelled to say that? Because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the chatzas panimis, where all four corners are essential. Our Mishnah says that if you do one kitiknan and the next, right, im nasan, kulan kitiknan, sorry, all of them are done kitiknan, the achas shelo kitikna, one of them is not kitikna, pasul ve'im bo karis, it's not going to be karis. And what Reish Lakish says is that if you think about our Mishnah, right, it sounds like from the Mishnah that if I would have inverted it, where if the first one was done chutzas mano, and the next ones are done silently, sounds like from the Mishnah there would be kares. Now, again, the Mishnah doesn't say that, and that's the tricky part of this discussion. That's implied in the Mishnah. Now, if that's true, if that's assuming that that's correct, that can't be the Chachamim, because the Chachamim say ein mefaga mechatzi matir. So we're only left with Rav Meir. Well, if Rav Meir says mefaga mechatzi matir, so then I don't need to invert the Mishnah. The Mishnah would be true. It would be kares even if I had the machshava chutzas mano on the fourth one. So it must be that the pshat in the Mishnah is that it's going like Rav Meir, and the pshat in the Mishnah must be carryover. That if I have the machshava on the first sprinkling of chutzas mano, it carries me through the next three, even though the next three I don't have any machshava in mind. Okay. The Gemara now. Okay, good. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. La'olam rabbanan hi. Umay kitiknan kitiknan lepigol. Let's not do that. Let's say our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, and when it says kitiknan, you would thought kitiknan means correctly, properly, like kedin. No, kitiknan means with a machshav of pigol, meaning that what the Mishnah is referring to is how do you successfully make the animal pigol? Not that it's a good thing, obviously, but in other words, procedurally, how do you establish pigol? So the Gemara says, I don't think so, because the Mishnah then goes on to say, if you do all of them kitiknan va'achas shelo kitiknan, it's going to be disqualified, but there's no karis. There clearly, tikna does not mean to make pigol. Tikna means correctly. So Amarava, my shalok kitikna, chutzim kama. No, shalok kitikna means you had a different machshava. Meaning, kitikna can mean you had a machshava pigol of chutzim mano, and shalok kitikna means you had a different machshava. Meaning, you're being ma'arev, you're mixing two different machshavas. As we learned when we started learning pigol, once you mix different machshavas, it's no longer eligible for pigol. That's one possibility. Rav Ashi Amar Shalol Lishmo. Or Rav Ashi says, not a machshava of Shalol of Chutzim Koma, but Shalol Lishmo. It's the same basic point. In other words, you mixed in another machshava. Mechlal Dechilo Avilei Chutzim Koma v'Shalol Lishmo Mechayev. So the Gemara says, well, that would mean that if you didn't have any machshava, you would be chayev, meaning it would be pigol. I did the tani reisha pigol v'chayev and lav karis tananami seif apostle v'ein bo karis. The Gemara says, don't worry about that so much. The reason why the Mishnah did that was for purposes of symmetry. Okay, period. Okay, good. So where does that? Where were we today? A lot of different places. So first of all,
does he get kerosene? Is it pigol then?
Wait, just one second. So let me just quickly summarize. So the first part of today's daf, we talked about hekesh. We talked about in the world of kachim, you can't make two jumps in the world of drashas, and that's one possible explanation as to how to understand the bright. So when the Torah says the word par in the parsha par helm davar, it's actually referencing itself. Why would it be referencing itself? So the Gemara says so that we don't step into the trap of hekesh, and so therefore all the halachas of Par Helam Davar is as if it's actually written in Par Helam Davar to allow us to darshan and to go to the part of Seir of the Seir of Avodah Zarah. That's number one for today. Then the next part of today, we did a little bit of darshaning. How come the parochus is not called Kodesh when the tzibor sins, right? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu removes himself. How come the Yoser Sishtei Eklaius is not mentioned by Parham Davar because of Kodesh Baruch Hu's love for the Jewish people? And then we go on to the next part of the last part of today's daf, which is the discussion of being Mefaga V'chatzi Matir. The Chachamim's position is Ein Mefaga V'chatzi Matir, period. Right? In other words, in order for it to be Pigel, you have to have the full Matir in mind. Otherwise, it's not Pigel. And it seems that Rav Meir, it's still Pasul, agreed, but it's not Pigel. And it seems that Rav Meir argues. Reish Lakish, however, does not like that shot in Rav Meir. Our Mishnah compels him to give a different shot in Rav Meir, and Rehi believes that the correct shot in Rav Meir is that he argues about the carryover effect. That if you have a machshav in the first part of the matir, does that carry over to the other parts of the matir as well? Reish Lakish believes that's what Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing about. But that's certainly not the simple pshat in the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rav Meir.